Welcome to Wolf Den's Saturday Set. The best show on television is back for another week. Kingzone, the Logies went by again, and once again you were snubbed. You didn't win Gold Logie of the Year. Larry Emder got it, but you're okay with that, right?
Yeah, I love Larry Emder. Come on down.
Yeah, he's been around a long time. So, hey, if that's what Australian television want to do, they want to anoint him the most popular talent on Australian television. Fair enough. Anyway, we're here to talk about racing. We're going to pretty much get straight into it. Welcome the Fizzer in. How are you, mate?
Morning, boys. I'm good.
Very good. All right. Well, it's really heating up this weekend. There's brilliant racing right across this great punting nation of ours. And we're going to start at the Valley, Moonee Valley, for the Carline Stakes. It's the first of the feature races we are going to talk about. And to kick it off, let's bring up the AI screen. Ooh, I like the look of that, Kings.
Well, here we go.
Pretty straightforward.
Spring's here and we've got a nice golden bullet to get into these bookies with. So 132 Mornington Glory. And then all the way down to Bold Bastille at 310 and a bullet rating of 55. So there's nothing in the betting between these two horses. Let's talk about Bold Bastille first. So the reasons why I don't like Bold Bastille is it's 1-4 from 5.
Yes, and of course this is a 1,000-metre race.
1,000-metre race.
First time Bold Bastille's gone up against open company, but you continue.
Yeah, and Bold Bastille's got three horses with pace drawn inside. So Bold Bastille is not going to get her own way this time.
Okay.
Bold Bastille, a boy or a girl?
It's a girl, yeah.
Yeah, thought so. So she's not going to get her own way in front at all. She's beaten up the last four races, beaten up on not, hasn't really beaten much.
As a two-year-old too.
Yeah, as a two-year-old. Those were sort of second grade sort of races.
Okay.
Now, these are proper racehorses. 50 kilo. The positive is 50 kilos. And I do think the younger horse with 50 kilos, there's often a lot of money for these horses. So I'm not like... On numbers, I think Bold Bastille will start a lot longer, but I've seen these horses been backed so many times. So let's talk about Mornington Glory, who is the golden bullet, is the 132 AI rating.
Let's bring
class
up last
horse in the race. Let's have a look at
the way keep reading.
The sectional domination shown over the last 200 here. So as you can see, Mornington Glory is ready to pounce there in third position and just eases out. Back onto a drier surface. I think two starts ago was on heavy. Doesn't go much good when the track's wet. But as you can see here, just about to really let down.
Just and complete moral in run, wasn't it?
Oh, did get the sweet run. Has drawn 9. We'll sit a bit wide, but I don't mind that. 1,000 metres of the valley. But just watch this.
Yeah, and just really goes through the line, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Ran third in an Oakley Plate last prep. Very, very excited about this. I thought the danger to Mornington Glory was Sandute, but we'll get back over 1,000. Ladbrokes bet as much as $9,
wow,
which was a big, big price. He's into $5.50 now.
I know Dream Team's keen on Sandute.
He is, yeah. 1,000 metres of the valley, I think definitely, it looks a great place bet to me. Mm-hmm. Looks a great Quinella to me as well, Mornington Glory and Sandute.
Okay.
But let's get back to Mornington Glory. 325, I'm inclined to wait on the price and bet on the day, but is an official Saturday set tip.
Do you think Bold Bastille might be the firmer in the race?
I'm torn.
Okay.
Because I see so much money for these horses down in the weights.
She's got 10 kilos on Griff. 9.5 kilos on Griff, the top weight. So that shows it's a big, big.
They're often so well back, but I just think she's so well found at $3. I just couldn't dream of backing $3. If she is well backed, I will be laying her and betting up even more heavily in the race.
Okay, very good. Let's go to the Fizz. Fizz, what do you make of the race, mate?
Like King said, there's a ton of speed in this race, and I think tactics is going to be maybe a key. The one thing I don't know about is Jamie Carr jumps off Mornington Glory and jumps on Bold Bastille.
Yes.
Whether or not that was a pre-planned booking for later on in the spring,
sure.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's a weird decision based on...
Might be a weight thing.
Could Jamie ride? Yeah. Can she ride at 50?
Yeah. She's riding it.
Well, so she's riding Bold Bastille.
Oh, so
she's not
riding. You might
find
that's got a lot to do with it. Zara couldn't get down to 50 kilos.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
So. Yeah, might do, but she's still maybe chosen to jump on Bold Bastille and got off the other one.
I don't
really know what to make of that. That's probably the only thing that I question about Bold Bastille is the fact that Jamie Carr's Mornington Glory, she's maybe jumped off and jumped on the other one. Look, the way the race sets up, I can only be on Mornington Glory and Sandute. I want to bet around Bold Bastille. It's not going to get to the front no matter what it does. So either they've got to change their tactics on it and sit maybe fourth and get the suck run, and maybe that will be what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can't see it. There's just no way it's going to lead. Acumantula is just not going to let it go, you know. So anyway, for me, I'm going to bet around it. I'm with Kings, the same two horses, and I'm going to bank on Mornington Glory to do what it did last start.
Unreal. It's going to be a great race. We've got a lot more to talk about at the Valley, but before that, we're going to move to our next feature race, which is at Morpheville. It's a Leon McDonald Stakes, a 1,400-metre race. And we've got See You in Heaven backing up. It was the star of the Saturday set a few weeks ago, See You in Heaven. And it goes around again today, and apparently this will be its last race in Adelaide before it says, see you later, Adelaide. Comes over to Melbourne for the spring where it's got big Group 1 ambitions.
Mm.
Let's talk about the race at the same time. Let's watch See You in Heaven in the Behemoth a couple of weeks back.
Yeah, well, I could keep watching this because I'll See You in Heaven in this race, and it was a big win. I don't have a huge amount to say about this race. I'm not betting in the race. My numbers, I thought See You in Heaven would be hard to beat.
See You in Heaven's just back six there, number eight. It's got the yellow sleeves and the blue. Continue.
I've got no knock on See You in Heaven at all. Very much a deserved favourite. Just seems very well found at the around the 225 mark.
Mm-hmm.
My numbers were 9, 2, and 1. Nicolino Vito, second pick, and number one, Attrition. So I'll stop talking and hand over to Fizz.
Yeah, I've got a Saturday set tip in this race. So I am going to back See You in Heaven. I'm going to have something as a saver on that horse.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'll get the perfect run. It'll be one out, one back this time and be very, very hard to beat. I am going to tip a 40-to-1 shot.
Ooh.
It could start 100-to-1 and do nothing, but I'm going to tip the horse called The Map,
okay,
which is obviously going to be set for later on.
Melbourne Cup, yeah, already, exactly already right. Automatically in the Melbourne Cup. Yeah.
Hasn't had a trial or anything. I can't find a jump out anywhere for it. I can't do anything, but this horse has good fresh form. It's 1,400 first up.
Wow.
Might run us a sneaky pace, maybe even a win. So I'm going to have something each way on a horse called The Map.
Sounds great. All right, we've got to keep moving. Mm. Now, this is a race. The Wink Stakes. Group 1 racing is back for the new calendar.
Whoa.
1,400-metre race. Wait for age. We've got 12 horses. They're all first up. Eight of them are Group 1 winners. You know how many runners Chris Waller's got?
Five or six, I think.
Six. Yeah. And we've got Fangirl. Fangirl's coming back. Obviously, she was completely airborne in the autumn. Then she cut her leg. Waller thought she may never race again, but she is back. She's obviously an incredible talent, and I can't wait to see what she does first up. What are you thinking?
Well, you can look at the screen there and you can see what I'm going to do. 119 bullet rating on Fangirl. Then Via Sestina, a bullet rating of 32. That's mainly due to the distance. So Via Sestina is a 2,000-metre horse racing over 1,400. I'm surprised that Via Sestina is so short in the market at $6 at second pick. I think that Via will be a real drifter. Riff Rocket, a bullet rating of 44, but did win down in Melbourne first.
It did, start exact same distance. 1400, yeah. It was against three-year-olds.
I'm surprised
still,
that maybe because it was at Flemington and now we're at Randwick, why the bullet rating so low. And then Zoo Gotcha at 66. But just getting back to Fangirl, won the race last year in 2022, ran second to Animo. So clearly he's set for this. It's one of the races which I love that I think Fangirl is set for. From all reports, he's absolutely flying. Mm. Bad luck only beats her.
Okay.
Is an official Saturday set tip. Once again, I'm going to wait because 225, there's some other good horses in the race. I'm not rushing in.
Yeah.
I'm just going to sit back, be patient and wait. But I think she'll win.
Great.
J-Mac as well. I didn't mention J-Mac.
Jumps off Via Sestina onto Fangirl.
Well, isn't he just on fire? Rode five last Saturday. Went to Wong, one out of one, and Wednesday killed it again. So I'm noticing in the market is really like, I'm not going to use the word overreact, but coming up a lot shorter on his horses now. So if you actually backed him you don't show a profit, even though he's riding so many winners, you don't show a profit sort of backing him because he's so well found in the market. But yeah, horses that would be $4 are sort of $2.50 with him on now.
And you were talking to him, you went to Richard Callender's lunch, brain cancer charity lunch last Friday.
Mm.
You had a quick chat with J-Mac and what I thought was interesting is you said that after the lunch, J-Mac went home and ran 10 kilometres. So is this correct? On a Friday afternoon. So he's probably got a million things on in the morning, done his track work, all that kind of stuff, went to the charity lunch to talk to the crowd and whatnot. Then he goes home and he's got a full book of rides the next day, runs 10 kilometres, correct?
Yep.
Then he goes out and has five wins.
Probably had
for
garbage
the day.
Bags on him when he was doing
probably.
It as well.
Yeah.
But it's no fluke.
Yeah.
Anyone who gets to that level, he's completely professional.
The harder you work, the luckier you get.
Yeah, that's it. But yeah, no, it is true.
Cool. Fizz.
Yeah, Fangirl, top pick for me. I think Tropical Squall leads him at a pretty strong tempo. It actually trialled very similar to what it did last time in Tropical Squall, which I didn't love its trial last time, and then it came out and won first up.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be, you know, it's a type of horse that can skip clear and be hard to catch, Tropical Squall, so not potting it at all. Out of all the Waller trialers, I can only be on Fangirl, not the, that it trialed well, but just the way the race sets up completely for it. Wallace sounded bullish when I was listening to his comments. He didn't sound very bullish about any of his other runners, which I didn't love any of their trials, any of the other runners.
It's Wallace. A nice little piece of content, that thing he does with Charlie Duckworth.
It's good. It's good. Yeah, good. It's good. Good bit
Wallace
of chat.
Talks through his runners. We'll put it in the description. We'll put the link. It's on YouTube. But yeah, I suggest everyone goes and looks at it. It's only short, 13 or 14 minutes, and he goes through all his runners. Really, really
is
good.
Is he declaring anything?
No, but he said Fangirl, he was pretty excited about her. So I think you found the right one there.
Yeah.
I'm going to have something on it too. Zugotcha was my second pick off ratings. And I thought the trial of Detonator Jack was quite nice, but it was a slow time. And Samana's got the race fitness edge. But for me, yeah, all the way.
It's a really, really high quality race.
Great race.
It is.
Be fantastic. All right, it's time to move on. Can I please get the rest of your official Saturday set?
You can. I'm interested to see how Via Sestina goes because I think she's
your potential star of the spring.
Yeah, the Cox Plate. The Cox Plate. Ooh. Let's go, though. Let's not worry about Cox Plates just yet. Let's go to Doomben Race 5, number 10. Sizzling Gal won 7 days ago up at Doomben, obviously on the backup, barrier 12 to barrier 1. Ladbrokes spoilt everyone again with the $7.50, but once again I was asleep at the wheel and into $3.50 now. They don't let us breathe anymore. $7.50 into $3.50 and it's Thursday. Come on.
It's unbelievable.
Just go $7.50 into like $5.50 or $6. They're bringing him so far now. Give us a chance. So I'm going to go Tote. Doomben Race 5, number 10, Sizzling Gal, Tote. Then we go to the Valley and Morpheville at the same time. Race 2, Moonee Valley Race 2, number 9, Stolly Bolly. This horse has had one run at Geelong for one win, a real fighting win, ground him down, natural improvement out of that run. He's $8.50 at Moonee Valley and he's also nominated at Morpheville in Race 2.
Which you hate.
Sorry?
You hate it when they're dual nominated.
I do. But anyway, I don't hate this one because it's going to win wherever it goes.
Great.
Stolly Bolly, $8.50 at the Valley. But if the Morpheville race looks a lot easier, but the price is a lot shorter, $2.50. Sure. But looks a real good bet. Fixed odds in either whichever that race Stolly goes to.
Yep.
Then a bit of value. Morpheville, race 6, two horses, number 12, Lady Simone, and number 13, Priscilla's Choice. It's a big, big field. I'm going to go Tote on Lady Simone and take the early price, number 13, Priscilla's Choice.
Okay.
Just look great value, those two. Both drawn wide and we'll be charging down the middle. Priscilla will go forward, the other one down the middle. That's it. So let's go through them, how many official bets I've got. Mornington Glory, I've got Fangirl, I've got then those 1, 2, 3, 4. So 6 official Saturday
plenty,
set tips.
Plenty for the team to work with.
I'm pumped for the spring. I'm really focused.
You look good.
I'm ready to rip
in. You look
in.
Healthy and happy.
I'm ready. I'm fired up. I've got to be honest.
Great.
I'm
great. Really it's go time. It's go it time. Is. Fizz.
It's go time. I like it.
Go time.
Yeah, if we could get rid of Wednesday racing, I'd be happy. All right, Saturday set for me. We're going to start in Morpheville Race 2, number 3, Stolly Bolly. I don't actually like it in the Melbourne race, but I really like it in this Adelaide race.
Looks a complete moral in
so
Adelaide, doesn't
in
it?
In Adelaide, Jesus, I hope they run there. But anyway, the dual acceptor, so we'll soon find out. And then I'll go to, obviously, I've talked about the map, Race 8, number 10 at Morpheville. My third Saturday set tip is Belmont Race 8, number 9, a horse called Search and Rocks. Comes into this first up, offers only a small break. It'll get a soft lead by itself, and I think it'll run them ragged, and I think Search and Rocks will be primed to win this up first up. So happy to be on it. And then I found one I'm pretty keen on in Brisbane, Race 6, number 11, a horse called Avone. It ran at Sunshine Coast and blew them away last start over 1,000 metres. It's 1,050 on the weekend. I think the young girl who's riding it will go, Malia Castle, I think it is. I think she's drawn barrier 1. She'll go a bit closer than what I reckon the maps have got her, and I think she'll sit closer to third fence than where they've got them on the maps. And I think if she sees daylight, this horse will be winning.
Okay, fantastic.
So that's it for me, 4 bets.
Very good. And just before we round out those tips, don't forget that AI is free on Saturday for both the Victorian meetings. It'll be free every single Saturday. And, of course, you can get AI across this great nation of ours every Saturday with our PAC membership, $29.95. It also includes a few best bets during the week. So go and join our PAC membership. Or if you just want to bet on the Victorian meetings, that's free on the Wolfden app and also on the wolfden.ai website. This episode is brought to you by our good friends at Ladbrokes. Join Ladbrokes today and support the show by using the code GALLOP. Take on the fun this spring carnival with the Ladbrokes app, loaded with the best racing features, including bet ticker, so you can see where the big bets land, yard comments to give you the on-course insight,
straight from the parade ring, and Black Book so you can add your favourite runners and get notified before they race. So take on the fun and Ladbroke it this spring carnival.
Chances are you're about to lose. For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website. Time to move. We've got to go to the A-team. Let's bring the A-team's tips up. We've changed up a little bit. Instead of me reading them out, we'll just put what they say up on the screen. If you do want to pause them, you can pause and have a bit of a look at it. We've got Smalley there tipping R Anchorage. I do know that Dan O is tipping R Anchorage as well, which
Smalley
makes it...
tipping a favourite.
I know. It must be a $1.20 shot.
Well, we're so back in the news.
Well, here he is, Junior Matt. We're going to have a little bit of a chat about Junior Matt soon. Manalo Bling. That's him at the Valley, Mooney Valley Race 4. Dream Team. He spent a lot of time fretting over this, but he's finally decided to settle on Mooney Valley Race 8. Number 7, Sans Doute. And rounding it out, there's Dan O tipping R Anchorage. So just double up.
Yep.
And,
does look a very,
Let's
very good
Let's move bet. To RI's staking plan. Here it is up here. I'm just going to talk about it a little bit more. Apparently, Uncle Mouth says I just moved through it too quickly. But here it is. So lent into the stuff at the Valley a bit. You can see there that I've got 2 units for R Anchorage because it's got the power of Smalley and Dan O on it. I've lent hard into your Mornington Glory. I've got 2 units on it as well. Put Fangirl in because we all like watching the best horses run and cheering for them. So that's RI staking plan. It was a small profit last week and I'm hanging in there.
I love that. You haven't picked one of mine and your small profit was because I tipped your 3 winners.
Yeah.
So well done.
You did really well last week, mate. 3 or 4.
I see
well
you're putting a save bet there on Sans Doute. If you can make ground, I'm going to save on Sans Doute in that race as well.
Yeah. RI thinks. RI knows what he's doing. All right. Let's move to accountability. This is going to be a big session. So there is, wow, the fizzer. He's just...
How many of mine did you tip this
good
week?
On your fizz.
Where are those haters, mate?
Where
remember those haters? We're slowly warming up to talking about
Fizzy
haters.
He doesn't have any haters.
He does. He
no,
does.
He needs plenty, I'm sure.
27%.
Right, so that's looking good. And now, just before we go to A-team credibility, all right, what we've thought is that it's very well for us to be accountable, but viewers need to be accountable as well. So NPI Napier, maybe? I'm sure he's a good fella, but, you know, we do have to call you out here, mate. So he said, why is the bird tipping on the show? He was referring to the Saturday set last week. And Junior Matt, respectfully, it's losing credibility with the tipsters. The show is absolutely fine with Kings tipping and Fizz chiming in too. Okay, fair enough. Everyone's entitled to their opinion. Let's go and see what happened.
Kids edging off the fence
when
now. Great call,
Dream Team
Junior.
Tipped Arkansas Kid at $4.40.
No, Junior
Come on,
Matt.
Sorry, what did I say?
Is it good Dream team?
I meant to say Junior
oh,
Matt.
Geez.
So Junior Matt tipped Arkansas Kid in the show last week after he'd been told by Napier 5 to drop Junior. Off. There's Arkansas Kid going to the lead.
Started 250.
You could have got as good as $4 with no deductions.
$4.80, I think.
I think after deductions, it's only $4.
Good. Great anyway. Tip. Great tip. And I'll tell you why the bird's tipping, because he hasn't lost at a carnival for 28 years.
I was talking to the bird late last night about...
What did the bird tip last week?
He didn't. He came on.
He's tipping Faulkner Park in the Caulfield Cup.
Yeah, he's talking Faulkner Park. Yeah, we've actually lined up some access with Andrew Bonish, and we're going to go at the stable and watch Faulkner Park.
Is anyone you don't know?
Not now, really. No, there's a few, yeah. But
who's the number one guest you want that you can't get?
Probably J-Mac. We've asked J-Mac many times. Yeah. So, yeah, I've given up. He's your mate. And Jelko. Everyone would love an interview with Jelko. So
they would.
Maybe one day.
Oh, yeah. I'll put out the feelers for that one. Good luck. What price to get Jelko on? What price am I?
Oh, I think anyone is 100 to 1 to get him on. I think you're about $13 to get him on.
$13?
You ask him. So, yeah.
I'm going to. This week, good. I'm going to ask him.
Great.
And I'll report back on the Saturday set. Whether he brushed me completely or he said no or he said yes.
I say you're evens to get a response and $13 to get yes. Let's look at A-team credibility. Pretty black except for Junior, but hey, they only get one throw at the stumps each week, so it can easily turn around. Look at that 110% pot percentage on turnover for Junior Matt because he just hit one winner. So that's all it takes.
Well, you only need one, don't you?
It does. Here's the monthly leaderboard for punter of the year. Here it is.
How good.
Now, what about this? See number 8, editor extraordinaire Trill Mitt.
Wow.
Wow.
Well done,
and
Trill.
I've got an interesting one for you. In the history of the punter of the year, 2 full-time Wolf Den employees have appeared on the leaderboard. They are Junior Matt and Trill Mitt.
Yeah, good.
So what does that say?
Young
you
boys
so,
coming
you so-called
through.
Geniuses. What's
yeah.
doing?
Yeah, no, I'm losing.
I don't think I tip enough horses on there to qualify.
No, I don't either, but I am minus 2% on there.
Okay.
I do know that.
You need to fix it.
Well, I do. I do. I will. I need to fix a lot of things.
All right, moving on. So let's talk about the said charity day last Friday.
Yes.
Out at the Wink Stand. You lobbed there. Richard Callender puts it on. It's for the Mark Hughes Foundation supporting brain cancer. Big day. They get a big crowd out there. And one thing that you do graciously each year is you donate a day in the den. The winner gets $10,000 to bet with. And this year, what did it sell for?
30.
31,000.
31,000. It was a great result. It was a fantastic day out there as well. And the star of the show was Malcolm Johnson, who got up and spoke for about 15 minutes, and he was absolutely hilarious. I didn't realise he was that funny, but
yeah, great.
He was great. I've never been to a lunch with better speakers, to be honest with you. So,
okay.
Yeah, real credit to the Callender family and such a great cause as well.
And that whole $31,000 gets lifted up and sent to the Mark Hughes Brain Cancer Foundation.
Yeah, and hopefully we can turn the 10 into something during the spring when the boys come in.
We'll no doubt document that with some content like we did last year. All right, we're getting close to wrapping up, but let's talk about Asfura. So Asfura, the mighty sprinting mare, she races at 12:35 a.m. on Saturday morning, or you can call it Friday night, whatever you want to say. So I'd be interested to see how she goes. She's in York. So if you set
your
alarms.
Who's training Asfura now?
Henry Dwyer. He's always trained her.
Right.
And but this has always been the target over in Europe, and they were sort of lucky to win at Royal Ascot, really. That wasn't the plan. But she came up a bit early. So she's favourite in this. And the horse that beat her last start is second favourite, Big Evs. So, make sure you set your alarms to have a watch of that. I will be as well. This is a great segue, boys. So the greatest sprinting mare of our generation, we lost her on Saturday.
Very sad.
We've had a bit of time to think about it and work out how we feel about it all. It was a big story right around the industry. It was also a big story nationally. All the national news led with her death. Just thought we'd have a little bit of a chat about her. I think the thing that I remember, and I've heard many people in the media talk about, was when she won the CFR Stakes, right, 1,400 metres. A week later, Moody backed her up in the Lightning over 1,000 metres, right? Mm. Incredible.
Mm.
So think about this. So you got Fangirl, right? Let's say Fangirl hypothetically wins the Wink Stakes on Saturday.
Mm.
And then Waller's like, you know what? I'm going to back her up in one of the best 1,000 metre sprint
races
there are.
You don't see it happen, do you?
That's quite incredible, well, eh? Like a week later, you go from 1,400 to 1,000, she wins both of them hard held.
No doubt she's the best sprinter in Australian history.
Mm.
There's no question about that.
Yeah.
But I love backing her. She won 26, was it?
25.
I think I was on her probably 20 times at least.
Mm.
And the reason I loved her so much is because she just, there was no bad luck ever. She's put herself into the race and it was like, how are they going to beat her?
Yeah.
She'd either lead or she'd second or third, and a lot of straight racing or races where she just couldn't get into any trouble. Whereas a horse like Winx, for example, if they go slow in front, she's a bit vulnerable.
Mm. One of my best recollections was, I think it was, I don't know what year, maybe 2010, the Patnat Classic, which is now like the champion sprint. She came up against Halas. It was pretty early on in the career. They put up $1.90. I remember speaking to you, we were in the office back then, and you were like, we're just going to keep taking $1.90. Like, we can't have enough on her at $1.90. And I think we got into like six figures by the end of what you'd had on her, and everyone else had plenty on her. And she was up against Halas.
She won easy.
She won easy.
Halas had an injury cloud over, I think, him that day. My biggest bet on Black Caviar was in the 2011 Newmarket at $1.20, where I lost count over 300.
Yeah.
But that was the biggest bet I've ever had on a racehorse.
You're flying back then, aren't
you? Yeah, I was. Couldn't lose.
Yeah.
Couldn't
anyway,
lose.
Back to the real world. Fizzer, anything to add on the mighty mare?
Nah, just what a great racehorse. My last memory of her was watching her last race in Sydney.
Mm.
I was lucky enough to be in the betting ring working for Kings and popping my head. Remember running, maybe not in the ring, but on Betfair for sure. Yeah. There's at least 100 down every time she ran around, I reckon. But just the tingles it gives you when she let down and looks to be doing it effortlessly,
or whatever.
Yeah, sorry. And every other horse is under the whip, and they're good horses behind her, and they just can't match her ever. And it was just, I don't know, just gives you tingles every time. She was good. I was like Kings, wasn't having 100,000 on him, but I was having like good bets for me at that time. You know, having $1,000 on at $1.30 and $1.20, and trying to boost them and trying to do this, and it was just so much fun.
And what about the Ascot win?
Yeah,
as well,
yeah.
We haven't even talked about that when we're over there, Rich. Yeah. And saw it live as well.
We did.
What a great memory.
Yeah, it was the greatest story ever. You said, we're going to go to Ascot. I said, I can't afford it. He said, don't worry, whatever it costs, we'll just have on Black Caviar to get the money back. And you did that.
I think they put up about $1.60 or $1.70, and I ended up taking like That 140, 130 around that average.
She started $1.20.
She started short.
Really short, yeah.
Yeah.
And she wasn't right, once again, as we all know.
Yeah, I know. What a win.
Yes.
All right. So anyway, to finish off, racing.com, not long after she died, they put up a seven-minute version of her all her 25 starts and, of course, her 25 wins. So we thought we would play that as a tribute to finish the show. I do warn you that don't think you can only watch the first start and then drop off. As soon as you start watching one, you're going to watch the whole 25 because you can't turn away. So with that, long live the greatest mare of our generation, the greatest sprinting mare of our generation, and we will see you in the den on Saturday. Thank you for the support. Cheers.
And further back in the field then was Kaskura, but Black Caviar is opening right up and living up to the very good trial. She's sprinting away for Jared Noski. And in the run home, Black Caviar won it by four to Kwasa Kwasa. But she looked to be cruising in the early part of the straight, Black Caviar. She's three lengths in front and did it very, very comfortably. Shaken up now by Noski, she put four lengths on them. Demerit's running on okay, followed on the rails by Carrara, but she's just as impressive here at Caulfield. Black Caviar under a hole, won it by five lengths. Black Caviar open. Up three lengths around the turn from Noesis. Miraculous Miss running on fairly well, but Black Caviar is all class and she coasts down to keep the perfect record by about four lengths on the line. Black Caviar at the 200, led by a length and a half. Wanted and Corsair and then rarefied out wider, and further back is Tola Spree starting to hit the line. Black Caviar in front, Wanted coming off her back. Black Caviar three quarters in front. Black Caviar, she wins again. Black Caviar printed away around the home turn. Then came La Rocket and Royal Ida, but it's Black Caviar by two lengths. Hitty Angels can't answer this super filly who races away to make it five out of five. What a star. Black Caviar, two and a half Hitty Angels. Goes to the lead as they corner. She slips away under a hold, Hurley. Black Caviar opened up three lengths on Wendick King. Tully Dreamer was gone. First Command Micmac running on General Truce down the outside. But it is Black Caviar well clear with 100 metres to go. Three or four on Wendick King, and Black Caviar back as brilliant as she left. Won it by two, eased up. Going for seven straight, and the favourite went away by three lengths now. They're not making impression on her. Black Caviar well away from True Persuasion. Hot Danish is boxing on well, but it is all Black Caviar. Seven straight. She's cantered home by five lengths. Black Caviar still the leader. Malham hasn't really moved on her. She's two in front. Star Witness second. Hayless can't go on. Hortensia runs on. Black Caviar, though, holds Star Witness at bay. She's unbeaten. She is. Black Caviar beat Star Witness by three and a half lengths. But Black Caviar at the 200 metres. The crowd starts to applaud already. She's gone three lengths in front. Haylist can't go on. A good battle for third. But this is why she's rated the best in the world. Have a good look at this. Black Caviar is going to be eased down to a canter. Scored by four to Haylist. Black Caviar is coasting. Kicks away two to three lengths on Crystal Lily. King Pulse beaded is coming home. Black Caviar away by four lengths with 150 metres to go. This is unprecedented. 10 straight. Black Caviar by four. Crystal Lillian beat it. But she is unparalleled. Black Caviar, perfect. But Black Caviar away now by three lengths. Crystal Lily stays on strongly, but she is unbeaten and still the indisputed champion of the world. Black Caviar by two lengths, eased up.
Black Caviar is pulled to the centre of the track, but he's giving Haylist, or she's giving Haylist, about four or five. And then came Hinchinbrook. It's Haylist in front. Black Caviar, she's starting to knuckle down to the task now. Here she comes, Black Caviar. She raced up and hit the lead. And the Black Caviar, the best in the world, races away and wins it by about three lengths to the roar of the crowd.
Black Caviar, she made the corner awkwardly, but Nolan said, let's go. And coming to the 300, Black Caviar sprinted up on the outside of Haylist and there followed by Buffering, but Black Caviar is the leader. She got away from Haylist with 100 metres left to go. Start number 13, unlucky for some, not for this one.
But it is all about Black Caviar. She went past the 200, lengthening by four lengths. Away she goes. What a champion. 14 straight, and she's up there with the greatest ever. Black Caviar won it by four and a half. And kicks away. This is the great exhilaration we come to see. Into the straight she goes, and if you've come to see the greatest, here she is. Black Caviar opening up by about five or six lengths. 15 straight, she just keeps trotting them out, and she probably hasn't had many easier than that. And Luke Nolan hasn't released the brakes on the great mare. Out she goes, she's three lengths in front now. The Wonder Mare, Black Cabau now by three, opening right up on Buffering and Kirtana. But the mighty champion is going to make it 16 straight. We've never seen the like of her before. Black Caviar won it by three Bufferings. Crowd roaring for one of the greats of the world. Into the straight she comes. Black Caviar opening up by three lengths. Zeddy Knight boxing on well. But here she is, 17 straight, the invincible one. Black Caviar won it by three. Into the straight now, Black Caviar, the awesome racehorse, races to the front. She's kicked away now. She's home. She's three lengths clear. Playing God is running on. Southern Speed is making ground. But the pride of Australia is the greatest show on earth. Black Caviar won it by three lengths to Southern Speed. Down on the final 300, and Hayless clinging on narrowly. But now here comes the great mare, and Black Caviar raced up and she's gone past Hayless. Schofield hit the full of whip. She's having a bit of a race, but Black Caviar is a length and a half in front, and the wonder from down under wins again. Black Caviar 19 straight.
At the 250, Nolan's got a stranglehold on Black Caviar. She looks at the 30,000 strong crowd and says, geez, I'm good. No, I'm not good. I'm the best you've ever seen in the world. Black Caviar, she's better than a perfect 10. She comes on. She's 20 out of 20. Black Caviar, full lengths. Great go for second. Nolan sits quietly. Down the outside, where Gunner Rocks coming home, Will. Black Caviar two in front. Where Gunner Rocks up to second. Sterling Grove goes to third. He hasn't moved on Black Caviar. Black Caviar, the equine superstar of the world. And that's 21 today.
Rest here now, John. Moonlight Cloud coming home fast, but it's Black Caviar in front with 100 yards left to go. Here's Restia D'Argent and Moonlight Cloud. He eases up near the line. Here's Moonlight Cloud. It's tight. Black Caviar and Moonlight Cloud in a photo.
It's the Black Caviar of old, all right. Coming to the 200 metres, two to three lengths in front. Luke Nolan hasn't moved on her. It's awesome. She's clear then from Moment of Change and Golden Archer, but she's back. And the legend lives on. Black Caviar by 2.5 Moment of Change. And Black Caviar strides to the lead ahead of Karuda Queen. She's broken the field up. And before they knew it, she was three lengths in front. Black Caviar now from Karuda Queen and Lucky Grey. But this is brutal power wrapped in an elegant machine. And Black Caviar strides away to win it by four lengths, Karuda Queen.
Nolan asking the mare to come after him now. And in a heartbeat, she raced up and hit the lead. She's giving Sydney some of the black magic. And look at her go, Black Caviar. She raced away. She's going to set a new Group 1 record in Australia. She's truly in a league of her own. Black Caviar racing away from Epaulette. Black Caviar doesn't let us down. Beat Epaulette. Third home Bell Sprinter.